There we go. So this week, we've had a lot of questions roll in about unschooling. And I've been talking to people on my email list about sending questions in. So that's probably why there's even more. And I want to help you guys get more comfortable with unschooling. I think there is a lot of information out there that makes people think, I like it, but what about? And so let's talk about some of those whatabouts. And this week, the three questions that I want to touch on, one has to do with if your teenager is not really pushing themselves and you're starting to feel like, do I need to nudge them a little? And the other one is, what about if I have a really little kid, 3.5 years old, what would be a radical unschooling approach to handling food and whether they're managing it or not? And then the third question has to do with an unschooling school. They want my opinion on whether I ever thought that would be a good thing to do. Do I wish I had done it? What are my thoughts on that? So one thing that I do a little bit differently, and I'm going to go ahead and you'll see this, that this is what happens, is I write out all my answers because I can get a little rambly and next thing you know, it's like whew, off and going. But so you'll see me looking back at some of the things that I have thought ahead of time of what I want to be sure to say. So let's just dive in. The first question is from Marianne, and she says her husband has been itching to gently nudge our son, 13 and a half, to do more, participate more, and to get out of his comfort zone. We've always unschooled our only child. Maybe we have not expected much from him over the years, but we have followed his lead and have supported his choices. My husband thinks that we may be doing him a disservice by not having expectations of him. Our son spends the majority of his time online, iPad, and a periodic play date where he games alongside friends in real life. We have been good with this. Husband and I think our son is afraid to try new experiences due to fear. He won't say it, but there's a sense of perfectionism that stops our son. Husband wants our son to have some adversity to overcome, which builds a stronger sense of self and accomplishment, which snowballs into more strength. He thinks incremental adversity challenges goals will build a strong sense of self. I recommend to our son, he might be interested in a new homeschooling group. The old one died during the pandemic. Scootering lessons, hanging out at a skate park. He liked that. Coding class, learning to write. He asks me or his friends to write or type. I know to trust, but my husband is in my other ear saying we need to do more and our son needs to too. So there are a few layers to that, right? Like the changing expectations as kids get older, you know, the perfectionism that we see that they're noticed, that Marianne's noticing. This is really common in kids as they become teens. They all think that everyone else knows everything, that somebody's given out the secret handshake to everybody but them. And it makes them self-conscious and a little bit fearful. That's really what perfection is all about, right? It's really just a fancy disguise for fear. So that concept, too, that adversity is what builds character, it's something else that's woven in here. Or that too much nurturing can make kids, what, soft or weak or something like that. I could probably talk for 30 minutes on each of these different topics. And we do that in my group coaching program where we just kind of break it apart and figure out for that specific family and that specific child and those specific interests, how does that work? Because I can give you some general stuff and you might be able to kind of extrapolate it and figure out, okay, I could do it like this or I could do it like that. That's fine. It's also kind of nice to sometimes do it within a community. You're always welcome to join us over in Creating Confidence. So let's see, where am I in my notes? I didn't get from the question how her son is receiving these different suggestions that she's making for other things he could be doing, except that he likes the skate park. And it looks a bit like you're trying to level him up. Let's make it a little bit harder. Let's not just live with what we've got. Let's add a little challenge to it. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's resisting most of it. You know, the first one, it's hard to join new groups when you've been out of the habit. 2 years ago, pre-pandemic, he was probably a completely different kid in the way he plays with kids or interacts with them. Scootering lessons, he may just want to be on the scooter. He may not want to be instructed. Coding class is the same. It might not be, all that fun to learn how to code as much as play. It's whatever stage of gaming he's in, whether he's interested in coding his own stuff or not. And that's the interesting part too, that if he's interested, then it's going to make sense and he'll move in that direction. Learning to write is not usually high on kids' lists, right? Even though parents want to see it happen. I do have an unschooling guide about writing, which has a lot of different resources to help you reframe that idea. You know, it doesn't help to push kids into writing when they're not interested. It actually creates more obstacles to have to overcome. I'll put the link for that in the notes. And then hanging out at the skate park makes sense that he likes that. Low pressure, do his thing, get a feel for who else is there without a lot of expectations. It's pretty developmentally appropriate, right? The other things, more school appropriate. So I would agree that helping kids achieve their goals makes them feel good about themselves. But the key here is to figure out what goals the kid is interested in. If you set the goals for your kid because you think this is reasonable or this is what other kids their age are doing or expected to do, you're not going to get the same results as if your kid is creating his own goals and challenges. And the only way to help them do that is not to get in there and orchestrate everything. You've had a lot of years unschooling. You don't want to undo all of that by suddenly shifting gears. And I'm not saying there can't be shifts in what's expected. That's part of the real partnership that you have with your children. But the other part might be stories in your head or in her husband's head about what a typical 13 and a half year old should be doing. That de-schooling concept is a bigger umbrella than just academics or just how we look at what happens in school. It has to do with undoing some of the thoughts and the expectations that we have that we haven't really thought all the way through. It applies to the emotional and the social growth that we've kind of been conditioned to believe that we should expect at certain ages. But we know as unschoolers that you have to individualize this. That what is right for her 13 and a half year old might not be right for your 13 and a half year old. So you have to kind of look at all the different factors that weigh in. It's how we want to parent them. When your kid is 13 too, remember they're embarking on a new phase of adolescence and you're embarking on a new parenting phase too. They're changing. Your parenting skills are changing. You've never parented a 13-year-old before with this unschooling philosophy, and you're going to bump into issues that are going to, you'll need to resolve or you'll need to look at and possibly reframe because you're right. This is about trust. And even though neither of you have done this before, helping your son see that you do trust him to make choices that he needs is the best thing you can do for him. That's why it's really important to get to the heart of your motivations. If I say nudge him a little, that might mean something different to your husband than it does to me. But it's like all strewing opportunities. It's without attachment to the outcome, without judgment if they're not interested. It's your ability to look at the big picture. Are there reasons it didn't work? Too early, needing a better transition time or some natural break to allow the new experience to happen. But again, you have to ask yourself about your own motivation. So parenting teens can be hard, not necessarily harder than everything else, just different. And as humans, as parents, we like it when we get it figured out. We're like, okay, I've got this. And then they shift and you're like, I don't got it anymore. And so you have to be able to roll with it. And then different children have different personalities to factor in. So you can always join the membership for more information to dive a little bit deeper, or we can talk on the phone if that's something that would be interest to anybody else. So the second question, I'll just keep rolling around here. She says, it's Kath, and she says, hoping for some advice on the more radical unschooling side around food. I try to follow and let my kid decide how much of something she wants or needs to eat, but finances are tighter now, and I'm trying to shop monthly. How do I help her leave some for me and some for her for the other 3.5 weeks of the month without seeming like an arbitrary limit? There are always other options of fruit, homemade yogurt, bread, spreads for sandwiches, et cetera, available. So she's not going hungry. She just wants to eat packets and packets of her preferred foods. So a couple things I want to mention. Kids' likes and preferences do change over time. Just when you think you can't take another whatever, something shifts, something happens, and it fades to something else. And 3.5 is very little. Lots of shifts are going to happen. And as a new parent, you look at this and you just can't even envision how this is going to be any different, but it will. It'll keep moving around. They'll have moments that they show you they're not a baby anymore, that they're growing and they're maturing, but they're still little. And then they revert back. And it's not like a straight trajectory, right? It's a little bit of a weaving around. That being said, what I would do in this situation is to figure out what the pull is. Is it the ease of it all? Is it the convenience? Because certainly making a sandwich is not as easy as grabbing a packet of whatever is in the packet. And you know, could that be duplicated in some other way? Just because we're partnering with our kids and doing all we can to strengthen the connection doesn't mean we don't have any boundaries at all. If finances are tight and you're shopping monthly, when it's gone, it's gone. It's okay to set aside some for yourself to eat privately, or even shift your own perspective with telling yourself, looks like we'll only have this for the first half of the first week. Remind yourself that it's not forever. It's for now. You know, we can get in that scarcity mindset, and then we want to try to move away from that. That makes everyone, kids and parents, graspy and always wanting. So maybe involve them in other tasty foods you can create together during the weeks that the packets aren't available. That'll be time to start exploring other tastes and be compassionate about feeling sad that you don't have any left. Developmentally, 3.5-year-olds are not good at pacing themselves or planning for the future. It'll be a while for that. So distraction and redirection are your best bets for coping with this phase. It won't be forever. We had candy sitting out in a bowl that lasted for months, but they were a little bit older and they would pick through their favorites and then it would sit there. And then kids would come over that had a lot of restrictions on what they could eat. Oh my gosh, they were just going crazy for the candy. And my kids were like, "Yeah." And so I think to remember that idea of forbidden fruit, that we can make things more important than they are. If we are giving it more value, like if the packets are something, oh my gosh, we all want the packets, whatever those packets are. Let's just toss it into the mix and see what other things are also there. You don't want to set up that forbidden fruit idea. But I also didn't keep it on the dining room table or the coffee table at eye level when they were little. So I let that out of sight, out of mind principle do a little work too. So I have a webpage over at Unschooling Mom to Mom. If you put radical unschooling into the search bar, there are some other ideas about incorporating some radical unschooling principles written from other unschoolers around the country who can help you as far as it's got it batched together where there's the food section, there's hygiene, there's chores, there's bedtimes, different ways that as radical unschoolers, or even just as parents who want to see how can I partner with my kid through this? I don't really see myself as a radical unschooler. You can still learn from some of the stuff that people have written. So you might want to hop over there to the website and find that. And I'll put that link down below too. Then the last one, Aaron writes, did you ever think of starting an unschooling school? Maybe something like a democratic school or just a place where kids could build community with each other, be exposed to the expertise of others, and pursue their interest in community with others. If so, could you talk about your experience or your thoughts on this? Thanks. So I understand the urge to want to create something that would be fun without the typical schooly co-op stuff. And I've seen people do this over the years. One of the problems, though, is that it has to be something that you want to do as a career, because your kids are going to age out or their interest will shift inevitably. And there you'll be, having accepted money from other families, and you're left with providing cool things for other people's kids. So what we did was we lived a little more in the moment. We set up email lists or Facebook groups where you would post that my kid is interested in doing a certain thing, have, you know, whether it was photography or archery or something in nature. And then does anybody else's kids want to do it? So it's not quite as structured as, not that I'm anti-structured, but it wasn't as structured as a school or a co-op. It was, this is what we're doing this month. So if all of a sudden my kids said, oh gosh, I'm going one time and I'm not going again, we might look at that differently when we can see that it's only for a month. But if we're like, no, we've built this whole system around this, it's a whole different way of looking at it. So you'd find out, if we were doing those little small things like we did, you would find out what they're going to charge at the nature center or the photographer that's going to help the kids learn something or whatever it is that you're going to do as a group. And then you'd set the fee and the families would pay to be involved. Maybe it's a day at the science center or a planetarium or something else. And then you start to create these kid-focused activities where they do them as a group, and people will gravitate towards it. I know it's kind of hard to imagine that, as we've had 2 years of pretty much social isolation. So the kids, you haven't been able to figure out, how do I make these group activities work? I do have a podcast. Oh, I don't have the number right here in front of me, but it is about communities, finding it or building it yourself, and some ideas more about what to do. You can also put that in at the website, communities, and it'll show up there too. Let's see where I am in this. Setting up a field trip or an activity like this one time is going to be more manageable than setting up an entire school. And sure, somebody will. People do. And I've heard of families getting together to create Sudbury-style schools. But the parents were more interested, the ones that I saw, they were more interested in providing something for their families, as they should be, and less so about creating a school that extends past their kids' time for involvement. And then oftentimes those kind of faded out, because it takes some real effort to create an entire system like that. Theoretically, it would be really cool to set up something that worked like a library or a community college, where you could pick and choose and sign up and leave the administrative stuff to somebody else. That's all really hard to do while you're unschooling your own child. And that's why we always just created the activities our kids enjoyed doing with other kids, without turning it into some bigger system that had to be continued beyond the interest and the focus of our family. Because therein lies the difference. When we're talking about an unschooling school or a Sudbury Valley school, we're talking about something bigger than the family. And when we're unschooling, focusing on the family unit is usually the best way to go. This is how you're going to be able to have the connection. This is how you're going to be able to help prioritize the needs and the wants of the children in your home and the adults in your home too. But you're going to not have to take into consideration everybody else's kids and their families as well. It's not that those things don't work. Some do. But it is quite quite an effort to make something like that happen. So those are my three questions that I grabbed for this week. And I have a Q for Sue form that you can use that's over at the website. I'll put the link down below. And so you can send your questions in for next week. I don't think I can see. Let me see. Oh, I can. All right. Somebody, Trisha and Danny Turner, say, love this question and very much relate. Our 14-year-old son mostly only has friends online and doesn't want to move out of his comfort zone. Says he's happy and needs are met. You know, I think it's, again, that steering idea that we just continue to expose them to different things. We notice, all right, he just got online. He just met with his friends. It's not a great time to say, hey, let's go wash the dog. But it might be something that you do after lunch, right? You already had kind of a little bit of a break, and now we're going to go do something else before we do something. And remember, too, maturity is a thing. As the kids get older, they're going to hear you. They're going to listen when you say, hey, I just want us to fit a couple other things in, okay? And it doesn't, and you're not saying it with that tone of, because my stuff is more important than your stuff. You don't want to go there, right? So, okay. Let's see. You also had on here the work of Byron Katie. Yes, I love it. Has been very helpful in working through my judgments and worries about my kids. You're right, Sue. So often our concerns are a signal to do our own inner work. Absolutely. Okay, let me see if over on the Facebook group there were any questions there. I don't think so. I don't know. You know, I've never sent this to all these different places. I usually just quietly go do my little Zoom call and then I download the recording and I put it over to the podcast. And people kept saying, why aren't you just talking on there? Because then people would, you know, everybody is not a podcast person. So we'll see. If this is terrible, I'll delete them all. All right. So I was telling my coaching group the other day, I know unschooling. I can help you figure out how unschooling works. My tech skills, though, I hang on by my fingernails trying to make it work. So I hope this was helpful. I'm going to come back on Fridays. My goal is to come back like about 1 o'clock Central Time, which is 11 Pacific Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, and then a variety of times around the world, so that we can talk more about how unschooling works and answer a few questions. Because sometimes you just have a quick question, and I haven't been answering questions like that in the Facebook group anymore, and so this seems like a good way to do it. And of course, you're always welcome to join the membership, because I'm in there every day answering questions in the private community. So that might be something, if you're feeling isolated, you might want to do. All right, I'll put links for all these different things. And now I wish you a great weekend. Have fun with your kids. Happy unschooling. And reach out on that Q for Sue form if you have questions for next week. And I'll see you then. All right. Take care. Maybe. Well, there's so many places to turn off.